Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to hour number three of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey has the day off. So does Bob Pompeiani. I'm Ron Cook talking sports with you. Let's go out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline and bring in Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, who was with the Pirates in Milwaukee yesterday. Jason, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Ron. I'm doing great. I wish I was in Montreal. That would have been a lot better than Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee's okay, but it's not as good as Montreal. I can say that. I got that hockey game on my mind coming up tonight here, so...
I don't blame you. It's exciting stuff, man. And man, I wish the Expos were still in Montreal, but that's a separate topic.
Well, yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover with you. Obviously, the Mitch Keller demotion on Saturday, but I wanted to start with a couple of moves that Derek Shelton made yesterday. Ahead 2-1 in the top of the sixth, he allows Will Crow to bat with the bases loaded, two outs. He bounces out. Okay, I had no problem with that. Crow was cruising, had retired 15 in a row, only had, 72 pitches to that point. Okay, but then he brings him out for the one batter who 10-pitch bat. He walks the guy, and then he takes him out right away. I didn't like the move at all. Did you buy Shelton's explanation that 10-pitch at bat just maybe took too much out of Crow?
Nope, I didn't buy it, and I didn't like it, Ron. I think I'm right with you. And I think why it upsets people is just because you're kind of straddling both lines, or however you want to put it. You know, if you want to go the pitching route and say, look, we haven't had our starters go deep in the game. Will Crow's doing that. He's on a roll. I'll take the hit on the offense, whatever. Nobody's going to have a problem with that. At the same time, if you look at it and say, look, this kid, you know, he struggled in his previous starts. We're going to get him out on a positive note. I'm going to pinch hit for him. I need all the runs I can get. This is an opportunity. I think people can get down with that. But when you sort of waste an opportunity and then you show an inconsistent, you know, grading scale, whatever you want to say with the starter, I don't get it. And I don't understand how 110-pitch at bat did him in. Because I guarantee you, and I wrote this today, if Will Crow would have struck out Tim Lopes, he wasn't coming out of that game. So it wasn't the at-bat. It's the fact that he walked the guy, and Shelton hurried up and wanted to go to his bullpen, which I don't fault him for going to the bullpen, but then if you go that route, you've sort of wasted an opportunity offensively.
Is it my imagination, or is that bullpen, which has been good, suddenly start to spring leaks? And I wonder if it's just because, you know, the starters, you just can't keep going to those guys in the third, fourth, fifth innings. And I know that, you know, maybe that's why Shelton let Crow bat in the sixth inning, but then why did he bring him out so soon? It looks to me like the bullpen is starting to run out of gas a little bit.
I worry about that too, Ron. I worry about that too. It seems like they might be leaking oil. You know, Clay Holmes has been really good, but they've expected a lot out of Clay Holmes. And we saw him on Friday night come out and just wasn't very good. He didn't have control. You know, Oviedo has been used in a really curious way. Take him out of the equation. Trevor Cahill goes to the bullpen. He's gotten hurt. Richard Rodriguez, I still think, has been very good, but he's looked somewhat human lately. And to your point, they just had to cover a lot of innings. They were talking about this on the broadcast yesterday, and I agree with them that the amount of innings are scarily similar to the two groups. And you just can't have that. The starters aren't giving them enough length. I don't think it's helped by the fact that Shelton seems to have a very quick hook. And these guys are working a lot. And, you know, Sam Howard's done more than anybody could have ever possibly expected out of him. And I've liked what Bednar and Crick and other guys have done. It's just their volume of work is very high. And you're getting put in positions where you're either getting tired or overexposed. The starters just, you know, and they're in a weird situation with that too, right? Like, starters need to go longer in games, but the manager needs to let them go longer in games.
The time is 12:08. It's time to get Goodrich and Geis. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geis, Pittsburgh's personal injury attorneys. All right, let's talk about the major move on Saturday, sending Mitch Keller down. Where do you think this came from, Jason? Did this come from Charrington and his staff? Because it certainly seemed like Shelton and Oscar Marine and, you know, that they were committed to trying to stay with Keller, and then all of a sudden he gets sent down. Was this strictly a Charrington decision?
I think so, Ron. That is my suspicion, and the way that unfolded certainly backs that up. I think Charrington has a pretty good idea on development, and I think we're seeing some things play out that tell us that, and they're not afraid to make these moves. It's the third one we've seen this year. Cole Tucker going for skill development work. They take Brennan Malone, one of their top prospects, and bump him back to rookie ball because he was struggling. And, you know, then they do this with Mitch Keller. Like, they're not afraid to make a move that may be bad in the short term or may be tough for a player to take, but, you know, that's not what we heard out of Shelton and Oscar Marine. You know, they're talking about being one pitch away, and he's close, and I mean, Shelton was asked point blank by Jeff Hathorn, are the minor leagues an option? He said no, and here we are. He's in the minor league, and I don't fault the decision. I just do find it curious how it played out, and I think it's, you know, coming from above saying, like, no, we're not going to continue doing this. We're going to do it a different way. And I credit Charrington for that. I think it's a really smart move. I think it's the right move. It's one I doubted they were going to make. But nonetheless, given how he's performed and how little traction he's got, I don't know how anybody could argue with him.
Yeah, I can't either. The only thing that concerned me, again, where it was coming from, because, you know, we had Bob Walk on Friday, and he interviews Oscar Marine every Friday morning for their pregame show. And he said, man, from listening to him, there's no way they're going to send him out. You know, that they want him, you know, they want to have their hands on him, you know, and it's not like this team is going anywhere anyway, right? But how do you think Mitch Keller will handle this? Is he a mentally strong kid? Is he going to wilt because of this? Is he going to pout? How do you anticipate he'll look at this?
I'm really curious, Ron, and I don't think I know, to be honest with you, because I think this is part of what we're talking about with him staying up here versus going down to the minors. Like, I think they probably could have made a case to keep him up here if not for that post-game Zoom call. I mean, Steve Sanders talked about that while pinch hitting for Charrington on his radio show, just how beaten down he looked, and he did. I mean, he looked, his body language was worse than I've ever seen it on the mound. And so how is he going to respond mentally? I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I would like to think that he responds the right way. He certainly does not seem like he's in a very good headspace right now, but you know, get away from it, don't make a start, maybe come out of the bullpen or something like that, you know, try to get your mind right. I would like to think and I would hope that he has the mental capacity to handle this. And I like that in your column explaining, you know, stuff that this is not unprecedented. Some of the best players in baseball have done this. It's not a huge shot to the ego, but you do need to admit that there's stuff you need to work on. And we've heard from Shelton and other people that, like, Mitch has admitted that. But putting it into practice and having the right mindset, is obviously the most important thing here.
Boy, I know how much they were counting on him. If he doesn't pan out, how much of a setback would that be for this franchise?
I mean, pretty substantial. Pretty substantial. You went into the season, and you wrote about this too, where, you know, you only had a handful of guys that you could really count on and say, man, I want to watch him. You know, it's Brian Hayes, Mitch Keller, and I would argue that Brian Reynolds has held up his end of the bargain, and he's been very good. You know, they've got a lot of work to do, but you could say, you know, optimistically, like, look, if these three guys perform, we at least have three pieces here that we can build around. It's obviously on ownership and whatever to spend more money, and they need to, and lock these guys up. And two of them have held up their end of the bargain, and Keller is not. And, you know, I mean, it's, I don't even know how to put into words how bad it would be to lose a guy that you were counting on to be a future ace of the staff, and especially given the turnover they've had at that position, Garrett Cole, Joe Musgrove, everybody else. They've got some good arms in the system, but they need somebody with a little bit of miles on the tires, and I thought that's what Keller was going to be. I still think that's something he can be, but, I mean, gee, any team loses somebody they envision as being a front-of-the-rotation starter, it's a kick to the gut.
We're talking to Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette, here on the Cook and Joe Show. All right, Jason, Colin Moran leaves another game. I'm afraid if you breathe on him too hard, he might get hurt. He is in an unbelievable streak of injuries, isn't he? And that can't be good for them, not only because he's a good hitter for them, but I would think he'd be one of the guys they might be looking to move come the trade deadline.
Yeah, I go back and forth on that, Ron. I don't think now is the time to move Moran just because of the available playing time. Like, you need somebody to take you to, like, the Mason Martin and O'Neill Cruz era, and those guys aren't ready. So if you play him and give him some runway to produce numbers, I think the value can be a lot higher. That being said, if they got a good offer, I wouldn't hesitate. He is in a really strange run of stuff, you know, and I don't have a great feel so far for how the back thing was. Like, I do think it was just the true, you know, your back tightened up on you. I don't know. I've gone through it. You've gone through it. Like, the severity of it can be all sorts of places. But, you know, we're talking about a right hand thing where he gets plunked, just came back from the groin injury. They really need him. And you know, for a variety of reasons. If we want to talk about the trade deadline, fine. If we want to talk about not having much of a replacement at first base, also fair. If we want to talk about just needing every conceivable bat in their lineup, I mean, he's one of their few legitimate run producers for an offense that has not produced runs this season. So we'll probably find more this afternoon in Washington. I don't think it's, you know, Colin Moran's going to have to be out for a long, long time, but is it healed enough to play today? We'll find out.
You listened to Steve Sanders yesterday, the assistant GM, you know, really heavily involved in the scouting and the upcoming draft. Can you share what he had to say and any feel for whether they're going to go pitcher or position player after listening to him?
Yeah, I liked what Steve said. I thought Brownie did an excellent job on the show. You know, it was neat to hear him go into the draft stuff, and I also know there's only so much Steve can say at this point, and the weird thing is there's only so much Steve knows. I was actually talking to him just, you know, being back on the field, one of the perks of it, and I don't think he would mind sharing this, just about the amount of talented players in this draft. And that was one of my takeaways from this thing, is it's tough to predict which way they're going to go because there are a lot of good players. It's probably comforting for Pirates fans, as much as somebody might get mad about them or them drafting a high school kid or whatever route they go. Like, I am confident they're going to get a quality baseball player in here, and I don't think they're going to, you know, not sign one of these kids because they don't want to pay him. Like, that's not going to be an issue here. But is it going to be a high school kid? Is it going to be the catcher from Louisville? Is it going to be one of the Vandy pitchers? I don't know. I enjoyed hearing Steve talk about it, and, you know, one of the things he said is, like, they don't know who they're going to pick, very much in the thick of things. And I think people probably need to understand with baseball too, it's not just about, oh, what hole do we have to fill? You know, in the NFL, like, you need a running back, you take Najee Harris or whatever. It's not that easy with baseball, and you're talking about what salaries you're going to negotiate, whether you're going to pay above slot, below slot, what a guy's demands are, if he wants to sign, go to college, et cetera. So, I mean, there's just a bunch of sort of extenuating circumstances they're also trying to navigate through.
All right, Jason, before I let you go, the pitcher's grip and the sticky stuff and everything, very much a topic. Chad Kuhl brought an interesting element to this on Saturday when he said those balls that they used in Milwaukee, both sides, you know, had no grip on them. He called them pearls, I think. Neil Walker said it's like throwing a cue ball. You can't get any grip on it. Yet I watched some of the relievers from Milwaukee. They didn't seem to have any trouble with it. What did you make of what he had to say?
I know, man. Brandon Woodruff didn't seem to have too much of an issue with it. And, I mean, Josh Hader looked just fine getting three saves
sure did.
In 3 days. I didn't like it personally. I mean, I respect Kuhl's willingness to say whatever he wants. But, you know, after his start after the Pirates are in a losing skid, after Milwaukee's pitchers pitched well. I didn't think that was the time or place. I mean, if you want to come out and pull the reporter aside and get a message across, say, hey, these baseballs really stunk, I think there's a way to back channel it. But I didn't like the coming on the Zoom call, ask about something else, immediately saying the baseballs stink. And even if they do, so what? They it's the same for both teams. And Derek Shelton sort of covered that yesterday when he was asked about what Cool said. So I get it. They're not all perfect. You know, it is a weird ball. Talking to another Pirates pitcher about that, just how tough it is to grip, how they travel, this, that, and the other. Not the time or place to say that after you just lost and didn't have a really good start.
Boy, this adjudication of how they're going to do these umpires checking out on these pitchers is going to be fascinating, isn't it? And, you know, it's going to turn in, you know, one guy. It's going to be a major story when they finally decide to try to crack down. And how do you punish these people?
It is. It's going to be a huge story. And you know what's fascinating to me is it's running counter to a lot of stuff that baseball wants to do right now. Baseball wants to speed up pace of play. Well, you're going to slow down pace of play if you're patting down every single pitcher who comes into the game. And you're limited in ways that you can sort of detect this stuff. You know, what are you going to do? Say, hey, pull your pants down. Do you have any spider tack in there? I mean, you can't do that. And the only solution I've heard, Ron, that makes any sense was to randomly just take a baseball out of the game and just do these random, almost like, you know, urine tests, drug tests or whatever. Pull it out, give it a test, see what's on there. And you know, if it's spider tack, whatever, you take the guy out of the game and you figure it out. But you do have to be aware of, like, who has touched that ball. You know, was it a previous pitcher? Is somebody going to get incriminated who just happened to touch a ball that the other pitcher was using? So there's a lot of logistics they need to sort out with this thing.
Well, Jason, these are tough times for the Pirates, but you could be watching the Arizona Diamondbacks. Are you aware of what they're doing? They've lost 10 in a row. Okay. I read this stat, and I had to double-check it five times to make sure. They're 3-27 in their past 30 games. Think about that for a big league team. 3-27. Man, the Pirates look like world champions next to them.
They look like the Yankees or the Rays or somebody else. Well, don't forget, we saw 4-24 not too long ago.
That is true. That is true. Don't mention the Yankees, by the way. They're in fourth place. They're a game over 500. They've lost 13 of their last 18. Pirates aren't the only team struggling in baseball.
Well, did you see all the heat that poor J-Mo's taken, too? Some of it's deserved. I think he was out of his last start after just an out or something like that. But they're coming down hard on him. And I can't fathom the Diamondbacks thing, Ron. I really can't. I look at their roster. I mean, they're not a playoff team, but my goodness, they're not a 3-27 team either. That's just got to be brutal.
Jason, have a great day, man. Appreciate the time. Take care.
Oh, always a pleasure. You too, Ron.
All right, Jason Mackey of the Post Gazette.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.